Thank you so much for sharing that song today. I desire your prayers. I want the Lord to be with us in these moments. I'll have a confession before you. Almost without fail, when I stand here, my faults and failures come up before me. And I think, well, Lord, who am I? But I'm willing to do what I can to fulfill and answer the call that I believe He gave to me many years ago, and trying to bring forth His Word. So when I ask for your prayers, it's not an empty request. I want the Lord to be with us and help us in these things that we do. I want it to be a profitable time for you, for me. I want us to be able to gain ground. Yesterday, I went into Hammond to the nursing home to visit Sister Gladys Cascio for a little bit. I wanted to acknowledge to her the passing of her brother. And I felt it was important to do, important to her. On my way out, I met a gentleman in a wheelchair. He was being pushed by his son. He's a member of our community. This gentleman is a member of our community, and I've respected him, and he has always treated me with respect. I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit surprised to see him being pushed in that wheelchair. Kind of caught me off guard. But I took a few minutes to stand there and visit with him, found out a little bit about his situation. Last week, I was standing in the room with Sister Guy Dolman, visiting with her. There was another lady in there visiting with her at the same time. She goes in and visits with her on a pretty regular basis, sees about her. I appreciate what she does for her. And there was quite a conversation that took place there that time between the three of us. Sister Guy had a lot of things that she commented on. She said a lot of things. And this other lady was listening a lot and had some things to contribute. And I listened and contributed. We had a nice little visit there. And I'd like to just share something with you that's on a kind of a personal level, but I think it's something that we all, in my opinion, would do well to consider. We can take advantage of an opportunity to know those who are elderly, or we can pass right by. I choose to stop and visit with them sometimes. They have many valuable things to share. And I have learned many valuable things by listening to their comments and having conversation with them. Many times I've learned valuable things that I might not have learned otherwise from a perspective of those who have spent many, many years on this earth and have seen many things and have felt and experienced things in life. And many times those folks are discarded and they're just kind of forgotten. But I would like to encourage you today, and I'd like to give you this little bit of advice. If you have the opportunity to take a few minutes to sit down with someone and visit with them, it'll be a blessing to you if you let it be. I'm satisfied of that. There's a gentleman right there in the nursing home with Sister Guy, just a couple doors down. We went in there and we dismissed our evening service and went to sing Christmas songs to folks. There was an older gentleman right there, just a couple doors down from Sister Guy, that we had not that I had not visited with before. But while we were there, he made comment. He said, "You got a fine group of young people here, son." And it touched me. It touched him. He said, "I assume that you're the pastor there." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you've got a fine group of people there." He said, "Keep up that work." Well, it's not my work. It's the work of the Lord. Working with the hearts of individuals. He was a World War II. He was a World War II veteran. And he shared some, a little, just in a brief moments there, he shared some experiences. I'll tell you, folks, those things, we can walk right by. We can pass right by it, or we can stop. And I believe that if we stop, we will be advantaged if we will stop. Now, I'd like to turn to the book of Genesis. I'd like to turn to chapter 48. I'd like to pick up at about the 8th verse and read. This is a time when Jacob is coming down to the close of his life. Jacob had a very checkered past in his life. Wasn't always the best character. He made a comment, if I'm not mistaken, to Pharaoh, something to the effect that many have been the years of thy servant, and they haven't all been pleasant years. I'm paraphrasing. But he let him know that I've had a long life, but it hasn't all been good. And Jacob made some bad decisions along the way, but he maintained familiarity with the God of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And in doing so, maintaining that familiarity, God was able to develop a relationship with this man and make something of him. May I encourage you today, wherever life may lead you, maintain a relationship, a familiarity with God. Don't just turn your back. Maintain a familiarity with God, and it can make a difference for you at some point. We can choose to just disregard, walk away. But if we'll just maintain a familiarity, it gives us much more of an opportunity for the Lord to pay a visit. Jacob, at this scene, is 147 years old. 147 years old. He was 130 years old when he went to the land of Egypt. He was there 17 years. 147. And these are the words that he is saying toward the close of his life. Verse 8 of chapter 48. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." I'd like for us to not just read these words, but I'd like for us to try to insert ourselves in this scene and see what it is that is taking place here between a man and his son and his grandsons. "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. I'll stop here. A Commentators speak concerning this event as something to be acknowledged. Not just to be glossed over, not just to be read as a romantic type of a story, but it's to be reckoned with. Here is a man, Joseph, that spent a life, his adult life, in the land of Egypt. You know the story, how he was sold as a young man, thrown in a pit, sold to the traders, carried away down to Egypt, became a servant, a slave there, thrown in prison, falsely accused. And how that God, in divine providence, worked with this man, Joseph, to bring him to a place of prominence in the land of Egypt where he was the number two in command. And this scene, as is presented in my mind and to those of the commentators I have read, that Joseph brought them out from between his knees and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph's sons were moved back, and Joseph now bent forward. And in my mind, I see Joseph being on his knees himself and leaning forward, prostrating himself before his father and giving him a show of respect, a sign of respect, because of him being a man that was willing to try to embrace right things, even if it did come down to the end of his life, trying to embrace right things, being the scriptures talk about the God of thy father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a man that had, even though had a checkered past, was a man who was of prominence and a man that needed to be recognized. But now he has come to the place where he's no longer powerful. He is weak. His eyes are dim. He is old, 147. I would expect that if you were to stand before this man, Jacob, at this phase of his life, that it wouldn't be a whole lot to see. Not a whole lot to look at. Eyes were dimmed. I have a picture in my mind, if you'll allow me this, of a man who, if he has much hair, is all white, gray, and his skin so severely wrinkled, and his eyebrows, folks, I look at my own eyebrows in the mirror sometimes and I see how different they are from what they used to be. They get bushy. And when I go to the barber, he takes clippers now instead of scissors and goes joop, joop across my eyebrows with a little comb. It used to not be that way. It used to not be like that. But I see a man now who is 147 years old with thick, bushy eyebrows and heavy eyes, eyebrows that probably lean down over halfway to his eyelids, and eyelids that are hard to even get open all the way. And when they do open, that the eyes are so dim that it's hard to even be able to know if he can really see. And he said to Joseph, "Bring him closer so I can see him." I had no expectation, son, of ever being in a place like this, because all that I ever knew was that you were gone and I didn't think I'd ever see you again. But now, in this last few years of my life, I've had this chance to see you, and not just you, but your sons. Bring them closer. Bring them closer so I can see them. And now Joseph moves his children back, and he takes the place before his father and prostrates himself there. I see this as being Joseph on his knees and just bowing himself on the ground before his father. It's one thing, in my mind, for him to bow before God Almighty, because God Almighty is a sovereign God and we ought to bow before Him and show respect and reverence to Him and obeisance to Him. And I can see also him doing that same type of thing with Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh, as a king, as a leader, was owed respect, honor, reverence, and obeisance. And I can see Joseph in that posture to that. But now here is a man that is number two in the land of Egypt, powerful, prominent, capable, able to do whatever he wants to do, bowing before a man who is so weak and so frail and incapable and unable to do anything for Him anymore. The roles are basically reversed now. And Joseph, being willing to take that place, I say, folks, we would do well to follow that same type of pattern in respect to those around us who have the gray hairs. I'm not saying that we need to get down on our knees and bow in obeisance before them, but I say this, if you'll allow me, I think that we have lost something in our society, in our culture today, where we have lost the respect for one another, and we've lost the respect for those who are elderly. And shame on us if we don't teach our children to respect those who are our elders. Shame on us if we don't. I'll give you some scripture. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now I'd like to ask a question. Excuse me. Children, you don't have to answer me, and please do not. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. But I want you to think about something. When's the last time that you were in a gathering where there were several people at the gathering and you gave up your seat to an adult? When's the last time that happened? When's the last time that you saw someone coming into a place of business or going into a home or wherever it may be, and you saw someone coming and you opened the door and held it open for them to walk in, regardless of whether they were older or younger than you? When's the last time that you did that? Can I say something to you here, just an observation that I have made along the way? I don't take people as object lessons and just try to study them for the sake of study, but I do observe. And I've tried to make it a habit just to see. And I want to do it because I want others to treat me with respect. I hope that they will. But I wanted to treat my fellow man with respect. And regardless, it doesn't matter to me who it is. Someone who is older than me, younger than me, rich, poor, child, it doesn't matter to me. If I go into a place, if I am about to walk into a place of business and I see someone that has come behind me, I like to step aside and give them the opportunity to go in ahead of me and then go in behind them and see what reaction you get. I'll tell you, many is the time that you do something like that or step up, walk up to a place of business, you see someone coming about 2/3 of the way across to the parking lot about to enter in, and you open the door and step back and hold it open for them, and they stand there and they'll walk in, and most of the time they'll look at you and say, thank you. And they'll give you a smile. I'll tell you, folks, little things like that can make a difference in the way a person looks at you and the way that you feel about yourself and the way that your day goes. When we show respect, reverence and honor to our fellow man. I said before you a while ago, I stand here on Sunday mornings and whenever the Lord chooses to allow me to stand here, and my faults and my failures come up before my own face and my own eyes and ears. And I think the Lord has had mercy on me, and He's had mercy on us all. And I'll tell you, there's not a time that I stand here, but what I don't realize, the respect that you show me by being willing to sit and listen. And I appreciate it very much. Recently, I took notice of a gentleman, probably about my age, and I just took notice of the way that he was comporting himself. And I saw that he was coming into a place, into a building, and I opened that door And I held that door open. I wasn't trying to make any kind of a scene out. It looked like I'm waiting, looking around to see if there's... But I saw him coming. I nonchalantly went to the place, went up to the door, and I opened the door and stood back. He walked up. He stood there. And he looked at me. And he said, "Thank you." And he walked in. I said, "You're welcome. You're welcome." I'd say that we do well, folks. Our world is in trouble. Our society is in trouble because we have lost some of the basic fundamentals of love thy neighbor as thyself, of being able to show respect and courtesy to one another. We've lost so much of that, and it makes a difference. It makes a very big difference in how we are looked upon by our fellow man. It doesn't matter what color, race, creed, sex, gender, it doesn't matter, orientation, it doesn't matter. Those things, we owe common courtesy and decency and respect to our fellow man. And if we can show that kind of common courtesy and decency and respect to our fellow man, when we do have areas where we must make a distinction, where we must cut across lines, if we can show that we have respect to one another, then it can go a long ways to maintaining a relationship where there are distinct differences. Scripture in Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." There's a lot could be said about that verse, and I'll not try to take time to deal with all of that now, but I'd like to focus on this: train. Train. Teach. When we teach each other, we teach our youth. When we teach them how to conduct themselves in life, it makes a big difference on them when they're walking in society and they have gained and earned the respect of their fellow man by the way they conduct themselves. I see so much disrespect and hear so much disrespect. It's hard to even listen to a radio newscast very long at all and not realize how much hatred and disrespect there is in this world in which we live. Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 gives us some sound counsel. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, folks, hear this. It's not the words of a foolish man with bushy eyebrows. This is the word of God. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up. Don't provoke them throughout. There are so many ways that we can provoke our children to wrath. And one, if you'll allow me this liberty, one of the key components to provoking them to wrath is failing to train them how to conduct themselves in a society. Because they're going to find themselves at variance with those who think decently and act respectfully, and they'll find themselves falling into a category of those who do not choose to have decency and respect and honor and reverence to the things that God has allowed us to have, and we ought to give thanks and reverence and honor and glory to. As we said in the book of Genesis 1:27, when God made man, we created him. In the image of God created he him. In the image of God, he made him in a place of prominence. He put man in a place in this world. He put him in that place when he created him as that supreme element of His creation. God being supreme, yes, to be honored and respected and reverenced, and man being supreme. And God set up an order there in the creation. God set up an order of how things were supposed to be honored and recognized. I don't try to say this in any kind of way to try to make one more important or prominent than the other. But folks, if we don't understand and recognize the order that God has established, we'll find ourselves fighting against a God that is powerful. If we find ourselves pushing against those things that God has ordained and established. He created man, male first. And then He created a woman. And then children were born to that. There is an order, folks. There is an order that we must, as human beings, we must learn to follow and respect. It doesn't mean that the man has the authority to just step all over his wife. No, it doesn't mean such a thing as that. It means, as the Scripture says, she was a help suitable for him. And they are to work together, understanding that there is a distinction. The Scripture tells us that Adam wasn't taken in the transgression. He wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. She came to Adam and he made the decision. She was the one who was deceived and partook of the forbidden fruit. Brought it to Adam and he, by choice, did the same thing. These things aren't popular to talk about in our world today, in our culture today. Because they set up an order of a distinction and a difference. And we don't like to hear that in our world, that there is a difference. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that children need to be taught how to be respectful. We don't need to be hear that the children need to be taught how to be in subjection. They have hearts, minds, little eyes and ears, and they can think and they can... Yes, they can. But there is a place for all of it to fall in its proper order. I say... Joseph showed us that when he bowed before an old man, 147 years old, that was no longer able to do anything for him. But he showed respect and reverence and honor to him by what he did. And I say, Lord, will you help me? As we work together in this cruel, wicked world in which we live, may I counsel you, young men, may I counsel you, show respect to the young ladies. May I advise you that when you have the opportunity, open the door for them. Show them respect. Let them have a place first. When you are in a gathering, will you take this advice from this foolish fellow? When you're in a place and there's a gathering and there's not many chairs available and you have a place to sit, and someone, an adult, walks in the room and they don't have a chair to sit in, may I counsel you to give up your chair and let them have that place? May I counsel you that way? Because if you'll do that, it sends a message. It sends a signal. There was a teaching when we said, and there in Leviticus 19, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. The Jews had a principle that they taught to their children. That when if a young man was sitting and an old man approached, and when he got within 4 cubits, which is what, about 6 feet, when he got to within a distance of about 6 feet, that young man was to stand out of respect to that gentleman. And as he walked by, when he passed him, he could take his seat. And the reason of that was, rise up before the hoary head. The reason he did it that way was so it wouldn't be mistaken that he just happened to hop up. That he saw that there was someone coming who had lived some life and years more than him. And then when he got within 6 feet, he stood, and as soon as he passed, he sat down. That's not just happenstance. That's not just acting like popcorn. That is showing a level of respect and honor to the one that came by and showing that, yes, I meant you. Yes, my actions were intentional. I did that because I wanted to show respect, reverence, and honor to you. I'm not saying, young men, that we have to do that same kind of pattern, but we must have it in our hearts and our minds. If we're going to be successful, we need to have it in our hearts and minds. Because Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Do you hear those words? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Wilt thou resist the power? That tells me that if I refuse or I choose not to show respect, I am ultimately disrespecting who? God. Ultimately, I'm disrespecting God. Yes, it's important. And Lord, help us to put these things away in our minds. Maybe put them into practice in our own hearts and lives. And see if it doesn't make a difference. When you're next time you're going into a place of business, convenience store, wherever it may be, you see someone coming behind you, open that door for them. See what kind of response you get. You see someone coming out of a place of business and you're ahead of them, step outside and hold that door open for them while they walk past. Many's the time that you'll get a very positive response. You'll get a thank you. You'll get a smile. You'll get a, I appreciate that. And I want to tell you what I have discovered. It doesn't matter what race, gender, orientation, it doesn't really matter. If you treat them with respect, they'll appreciate it. May God help us each one. You pray for me. God blesses my prayer. Amen.